Well, once again, it's good to be here tonight. I want to say thank you. And part of what is appropriate to do is to give honor to whom honor is due and say thank you. And so I got to thinking about some things today, and I want to say again how much I appreciate all the work that went into just, you know, preparing the place where we're staying. We thank you for that. And then I tell you what, that chili at lunch was really good. I like Wendy's chili, and it's probably Wendy's chili is about my favorite, and that one was right alongside of there. So whoever made that, that was tremendous. And then at supper time, I try not to eat too close to church time, a lot of spicy stuff or whatever, but I was coming past the dining hall, and Brother Randy Lemon said, "Oh, you missed it. Oh, you missed it." I said, "Well, what's that?" He said, "We had fried rice and or goulash." And he was just bragging about how good the goulash was. And so I'm not sure if he was speaking in tongues or what he was doing, but he was describing something there. And then pretty soon, by the end of the week, we ought to be singing Makes Me Love Everybody when Brother Meyer gets done with his series on love. And then this afternoon had just so many good things that were spoken, and we need to check on some things. And just I thought that was, you know, well studied out, and I appreciated the things that were said. And so appreciate that. Now, my wife says, "I don't know why you wear the coat. You take it off anyway." I figure some of these guys up here have coats. Brother Frazier doesn't. So if I wear it, take it off somewhere, I'll have met everybody's expectations. I don't want to let you down. All right. I want to be careful here as I say this, because I do not believe in using psychology in church or anywhere else for that matter. All right. Lost a bunch of people there. But I have seen people pull and play with people's minds and emotions and try to chalk that up to a move of God. I don't buy that. Okay. And so, but on the other side of that, the Bible does say to give honor to whom honor is due, and we're to encourage one another. And I appreciated some things that I've seen. Now, I appreciate the way you prayed around these altars last night. I thought it was tremendous to see so many of these up here seeking God. And then today, the young lady that was playing the piano, I was going to say this, but I'm not. But you know what that means. You're going to hear it. You know, I always envy the singers because they get to sing, and, you know, somebody else writes all the words and they sing it and everybody cries and has a great time. And I think, man, they got it made. I have to study. I have to pray. I have to figure out how to preach this. And they get up and sing. And then when you start looking at sometimes what they go through, like musicians, when they get people like myself that don't know what key it's in, or start right between, you know, the third black key and the fourth white key, and it's like a C dump key or whatever it is. But I appreciated the young lady was playing the piano, and I was watching as she was, you know, she didn't get, I've seen people leave the platform in tears. In fact, I wanted to do it a few times myself. But I appreciated that. And then this afternoon, a couple of these young ladies got up and sang about being blessed. That blessed my heart. That really did. I was so thrilled to hear that. And I just thank you for doing that. And then I need all the young guys to put your fingers in your ears, okay? All right, I'll just pretend you did, because I know for a fact that the girls in room four got a dump cake today. I came to church over here, and all of a sudden, we were surrounded. I said, "What in the world happened?" And I knew my wife was baking a dump cake, and I never saw it. I smelled it, never saw it, never tasted it. No, I didn't get any of it. All right. Having a hard time with unforgiveness tonight. And so these young ladies were blessed with a dump cake. And guys, you just got dumped, I guess. So I told my wife, I said, "It's not fair." She said, "Well, I'm going to make some for everybody on Saturday, and they could have some then." You need to pray for my wife. And me too. All right. Well, again, I appreciate all that's been done. Appreciate the way you have been getting in. I trust you're asking God to save some folks. I've heard rumors that some folks have gotten saved. I've heard that. And I know that we have to be careful because sometimes kids, you don't know. You just listen, okay? One came up to me last night and said, "I got filled with the Holy Ghost." I said, "That's great. How do you know?" He said, "I spoke with other tongues." That's, all I can do is tell you, hey, okay? And that's what it says. So I'm glad for what God is doing, but we need to get in tonight and let Him have His way. We need to build on the things that God has been doing. And so I want you to turn with me in your Bible to the second chapter of the book of Acts. I would probably like to read the entire thing just because I like this chapter, but I don't know that I will. How many of you are familiar enough with this that I don't have to read every verse in there for you to know what's in Acts chapter 2? All right. Well, I won't read every verse, but I believe that you are aware that this is when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all in one accord, with one accord in one place. Man, I like this. "Suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. There appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. They were all filled with the Holy Ghost, began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Then it begins to talk about people that are dwelling at Jerusalem and lists about a dozen or so more than that different nations or languages. And they say, "How hear we every man in our own tongues speaking the wonderful works of God?" And so as this is unfolding and men are amazed, it becomes apparent that people have got to figure out what in the world is happening. And so by the time you get to the 13th verse, there are people who do not understand it, who begin to mock what is going on, saying, "These men are full of new wine." But Peter, standing up with the 11, verse 14, lifted up his voice and said unto them, "Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. It shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my Spirit upon all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall see visions. Your young men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. The place I want to focus on tonight is when Peter makes this statement, and he says, this is that. This is that. Now, I'm not an archer. That's somebody that shoots a bow and, or arrows out of a bow. But I do know this. The target has a bullseye right in the middle. And if that archer draws back on that bow and lets that arrow fly and hits that target right in the bullseye, you could probably say, that's what he was after. That's what you're supposed to do. I do like to shoot rifles, and I have hit the bullseye. In fact, I've shot a deer at 300 yards. I actually hit a 16-ounce pop bottle or water bottle at about 250 yards, and I was aiming at it, believe it or not. And so when I held it up, I said, this is that. I hit it. This is the target. This is what I'm aiming for. So I want you to understand when Peter stands up and says, this is that, I know he is referring to a prophecy made in Joel chapter number 2 at verse 28, but I think it has to be understood that he was looking out and saying, this is what God wants. This is what God has ordained for his church to look like. Are you with me tonight? This is what he expected people to do in the house of God. And so before I get into some of that, I think we need to understand tonight that if we were to look around the church of this modern hour and day, if you would walk in as a spectator in so many churches, you would shake your head and say, this isn't it. I'm not here to pick on people tonight, but somebody standing behind the pulpit and just droning on endlessly about something that's going on somewhere in the world, that's not it. Come on now. If you were to go to a place where a man stood in a robe, and I happened to be in an Olive Garden a couple of weeks ago, and a couple of older ladies were sitting across from us, and they were talking about being in church, and so I began to listen, and the other one said, you know, that altar boy got the incense a little too close to the smoke alarm and set the thing off in church. Most excitement that church has probably seen in its entire existence. But I'll tell you, if I walk in there, I would shake my head and say, this isn't that. That's not it. Come on here now. I have been into places, and I don't mean to pick on you, but if it's only a bunch of emotionalism and people just are doing whatever everybody else tells them to do, or I'm going to be a little clearer here, somebody walks up to somebody and says, hey, repeat after me. She rode a Honda. You got the Holy Ghost. That is not what this is. Come on here now. I've got something burning in my heart tonight for you to understand that when Peter saw what was going on the day of Pentecost, he said, this is it. This is what God intended a church to operate like. This is what God expects in the house of the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 16:18, upon this rock I will build my church. I'm going to tell you what I've said this before. It's become greater in my heart and mind that God's promises are his prophecies. And God's prophecies are his promises. And so when he says, I will build my church, he is going to build a church. church, and that church is going to fulfill everything that he said it would be. When he said the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, that was a prophecy, but it was also a promise. I want you to start tying those things together. His promises are his prophecies. His prophecies are his promises. He speaks it and he guarantees it, backs it up because of who he is. And so in Acts 2, we see a fulfillment of a prophecy as well as a promise. And Peter stands up again and says, as all these things are going on, this is that. This is what a church should be like. Amen. I'm going to get somewhere here in a minute. I've been to a lot of churches. I've been to a lot of services. And sometimes I've got to walk out and say, I didn't see any of that in there. I didn't see anything that looked like that. I didn't see anything that looked like that. Now, I want you to understand tonight that the Bible is a supernatural book. Are you with me tonight? I mean, the Bible is the inspired word of God, but as you begin to unfold the pages of it, especially if you go into the New Testament, you're going to find out that there is nothing natural about what is written on those pages. Even when you read about Jesus going from one place to another, something supernatural is about to take place. As you open up that book, I look at it and I begin to marvel at the things that I see in the Gospels as they begin to unfold before us. This entire presentation from the book of Matthew all the way to the last chapter of the book of Revelation is intertwined. It is built. It is woven upon the supernatural acts of Almighty God. There is nothing natural about it. There is nothing mundane about it. I want you to understand tonight that if you begin reading in Matthew 1 or Luke chapter 1, you're going to find out that there is a supernatural visitation of God as an angel appears. Amen. Whether you go to Zacharias first and the announcement comes that there's coming a man by the name of John the Baptist, or whether you go over and find a virgin by the name of Mary, and an angel comes to her and says, the Holy Ghost is going to move upon you, and you're going to have a child. Or whether you find Joseph off contemplating somewhere, how in the world can my fiance Mary be with child? Never. I want you to understand, from the very beginning of the New Testament, it is supernatural. Oh, you're not getting this? You're not getting this. You're listening, but you think the Bible is just an ordinary storybook and fairy tale. Absolutely no. It cannot be that way. As you read that book, it now becomes apparent God is not going to have a mundane, ordinary group of people that gather together in some building somewhere without any manifestation of the supernatural power of God. I don't know why we're feeling like this tonight, but we've got to break through this. It wasn't just these, but even the wise men that came to see Jesus Christ are led supernaturally by a star that has somehow been placed in the sky by God. And when they find this child and they know that it's Jesus, they lay their heads down, and one more time, a supernatural visitation. An angel comes and says, do not go back the way you came. I am telling you about how your Bible is written. It is not a book of the coincidental. It is not a book of just sitting there. And people, I'm telling you, God set something in motion, and he wants you to understand what a supernatural work God wants to do. Oh, help me, Lord. Come on now. Does anybody believe this? Anybody?
I mean, we have sat and we have sat on the miraculous. We have sat on the promises. We have set aside things and just wrote them off as they were the same as what you would read in the paper. Absolutely not. This is God Almighty manifesting His greatness, His power, and His will. Amen. In the beginning of the book of the Gospels, through angelic visitations. Help me, Lord. By the time Jesus Christ steps out to do his ministering at about age 30, there's not much said. Why? It's all natural. It's all him growing. It's all him learning. It's all him doing things that God said, I don't want to put that in the book. I want to put it in there. And then you're going to find one day that Jesus is invited to a wedding at Cana. And as he's there, and they look around, and they realize we don't have any wine. Mary comes to him and says, they don't have any wine. Jesus looks at her and says, mine hour has not yet come. I'll tell you what, as I see this thing unfold, I don't know how long it is, but the next thing you know, Jesus is stepping out and saying this, go get those water pots and fill them with water. And somebody does it, and he says, now you draw out of that water and you take that water to the governor of the feast, and these servants, not even knowing what was done, carry it up to the governor. And somehow we are again reminded we are dealing with a supernatural. Come on now. We have, I don't know what it's going to take to break this wall down, but we don't expect anything supernatural anymore in the house of God. In calling his disciples, Jesus one day found the fishermen that had fished all night and caught nothing. And he looked at them and he said, I want you to cast your net on the other side of the boat. And when they brought it out again, they brought in a great draw of fish. And it was there that Peter fell down before him and said, my Lord and my God. I serve a supernatural, miracle-working God. Anybody else serve that kind of a God? I will say it again. I serve a supernatural, miracle-working God. The Bible is not a book of history. It is a book that lives with the power and the presentation of a mighty God, the everlasting Father, the great I Am, the Almighty, the King of Kings, the Alpha, the Omega, the author and the finisher of our faith. I don't know why it's feeling like this in here tonight, but we have got to push beyond where we're at. Amen. Well, I don't know where you want me to go from there. Do you want me to visit, amen, a lame man? Amen. Do you want me to visit a blind man? Do you want me to go to somebody that's got leprosy? You want me to go to 10 lepers? Where do you want me to go? Because anywhere you find throughout the record of the Gospels, you will find the miraculous, the supernatural, amen, the manifestation of who God is. Even somebody earlier today, I forget, maybe it was Pastor Lemon that pointed out that in Luke chapter number 9, and you'll find it in chapter 10 too, that Jesus looked at his disciples, those that followed him, be they the 70 or be they disciples, he gave them supernatural power. I don't know, oh God help me here. There's not a page written in all of the Gospels that is not dedicated and baptized in the power of a supernatural God. I said there's not a word there, not a story written, not an item that's there. It doesn't matter if it's a hungry crowd and a boy with five loaves and two small fishes. I want you to understand, before I go any further, every page of Matthew is baptized in the supernatural. Come on now. Every page of the Gospel of Mark is baptized in the supernatural. Every page, word of the Gospel of Luke declares him to be the Son of God with power. John, in the beginning was the Word. Can I tell you what that is? In the beginning was supernatural. Oh, come on now. In the beginning, God created supernatural. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Come on here now. Every page, every story, everything about our Bible screams, this is not natural. So the question then is, how come our services are not like that? How come we can sit and not be stirred? How come if every page of every gospel is baptized in the supernatural, why aren't we seeing such evidences in the hour in which we live? As I read to you, I dare say there is a picture of the church as God intended it to be in Acts 2. But somehow when I look around in the hour in which we're living, I've got to shake my head and say, this is not that. This is not that. And my heart's burden and desire is that we would come to the place where we would say, God, I'll tell you what we need. We need more of that. We need more of that. Whatever that is that Peter put his finger on and said, this is it. This is that. That's what we need. I don't know how to define your that tonight, but I'm going to do my best by the grace of God. We need again an old-fashioned visitation of the supernatural power of Almighty God. I'm saying it again. There must be a visitation within the house of God of something that is greater than a man with a microphone, somebody with a guitar, those who play the instruments. There must be something that says, my God, would you do that again? Would you bring that back? Would you visit us with that one more time? Anybody interested in that? Anybody interested in that? I'll tell you what the church is. I'm tired of this nonsensical, and excuse me, it's theological, but it's not right. Well, what is the church? Well, it's a called out body of believers out of body. Oh, hey, I'm so tired of hearing that. It isn't funny. I'll tell you what it is. Go to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 22. It is a habitation of God through the Spirit. I don't think God needed a theologian to define the work that is called the church. He called it himself. He said it is a supernatural building. It is the habitation of God through the Spirit. It is lively stones that are built up in their spirit that sing praises to the Lamb of God. Oh, I wish we could break through this. I wish we could tear down old ideas, get rid of them, and understand there's a God in heaven that wants to visit us in a supernatural way. As I have studied about revivals, I found out basically, and I don't know that this is all inclusive, but there are two ways that revival comes. One of them, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. He said, I'll hear from heaven. I'll forgive their sin. I'll heal their land. I believe that we can do what it takes to get our lives in a place with God that we want to obey Him again. That's one way. If I forget, remind me, I've got two ways and I didn't get the second one. I was praying and studying. I want to say something and you better listen to it very clearly. You know, people say, do I have to be baptized in water to get to heaven? I'm going to tell you what, the answer is no. The thief on the cross got there without being baptized in water. And then there's some religions out there that say, well, you got to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost to get to heaven. Is that true to a preacher? No, I can't prove that. But this much I can tell you, if you really got saved, you're going to want to be baptized in water. You hear me now? Go visit the eighth chapter of the book of Acts where the Ethiopian eunuch comes and Philip gives him the gospel. And here's what he says. There's water. Is there any reason I should not be baptized? Is there any? I'll tell you, if you really, really, really did get saved, you want to be baptized in water. You want to do it. Don't tell me, well, can I get there without? There is an obedient act that gives us access to greater things in God. Well, do I have to have the Holy Ghost to go to heaven? I believe we're saved by the blood. Unequivocally by the blood. But I find in Acts chapter 19 a group of people that were so hungry for God. And it's not just there. But there in Acts chapter 19, as Paul goes and visits the Ephesian believers, he looks at them and he checks, have you really been baptized? And I mean, they're already here. Here we go down the road. Either you want it or you don't. And then in verse 2, believe it is, have you received the Holy Ghost? And four verses later, not 4 days, not 4 years, not 4 hours, but four verses later, they are baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, one way to get to revival is start doing what God said for you to do. Get baptized in water. If you haven't been baptized, I don't know what this river back here is called or for, but it could well be that you need to take that step. Well, I don't think I need the Holy Ghost. I'm telling you, if you really got saved, you're going to want it. You're going to want it like you've never wanted anything in your life. I'm telling you, there's a way to revival called obedience. And I want to go a little further than that. On the other side, the second thing is, there are times when God in His sovereign will decides, I'm going to do something for those people. I'm going to look upon them in their affliction. I'm going to do something for them like they have never seen before. I'm going to visit them in a way that I will pour my Spirit out and they will know the supernatural power of Almighty God. Well, how do you prove that? You go to a man by the name of Gideon who's threshing wheat in a wine press. And God shows up out of nowhere and says, Hail, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon looks around and says, Who, me? And God begins to deal with him and anoint him to bring deliverance to Israel. I want you to know tonight, at the bottom of this thing is a desire for you to see the supernatural work of God. Because this is not that. There's more to this so that we can get to that. And I'm not just picking tonight. I've been through so many services and so many places. And all I can do is say, my God, if this is the pattern in Acts 2, and that's a mirror, we've got a long way to come. Would you bring us there? Anybody interested in going there? I hate to tell you the name of the book. I cannot verify anything in the book. I can only tell you that a book was written decades ago by a Chinese missionary by the name of H.A. Baker. As he went to China, he opened up an orphanage and they brought in from the streets children that came from all kinds of backgrounds. They were teenagers. They were young kids. Some of them had absolutely no morals, no training. Some were prodigals and some were runaways. Some were just there because nobody wanted them. He said there was a day in the structure of their dealings with these kids. They would get up and have a chapel, and it was always the same thing. They would go to their duties. They would do what was expected. He said, but one morning, as they began to pray, something began to happen in the minds and the hearts of those little Chinese children. As they began to pray, they began to feel something that they had never felt before. I'm telling you what was going on. If it's accurate and right, and from what I can tell, it is exactly presented biblically. Those children who knew absolutely nothing about God began to feel something in that place. And that missionary began to tell them, or not even tell them, he began to watch them as one by one little children and teenagers began to bow on their knees in the presence of Almighty God, and they began to confess to God the ugliness of their sins. They began to talk about the bondage that they felt by the enemy that had come against them. They began to weep and cry, and something began to sweep over that place as one by one those little children and teenagers began to feel the supernatural power of Almighty God. And so, prayer times that were only, chapels that were only 30 minutes, all of a sudden started going on into an hour. It went on into 2 hours. It went on into 3. It went on into 4. And the man was amazed as some would get up, but the majority would stay down on their face before God. And it was there that God began to supernaturally visit those Chinese children in a way that they could only say was supernatural. The book will tell you, it's called Visions Beyond the Veil. And it'll tell you right there, that missionary said, those children began to describe things in the heavenly realms that nobody ever taught them about. Those children began to feel things in the realm of the spirit about how they were oppressed by the enemy. They began to feel the darkness of their sin. He said they were uneducated. There's no way they could have described some of the things that they saw as God visited them in a supernatural way. They would separate some of them. And the story of this child, undiscussed, would corroborate with this child. And the man said, what started out in hours turned out into days of young people crying out to Almighty God, saying, we've got to see something supernatural. Do we want something supernatural? Or do we want the same thing we've always had? Do you want a supernatural visitation of God? Do you want Him to sweep through this place and to begin doing something that you've never expected or felt Him to do before in your entire life? Because that's exactly what happened in Acts 2. Suddenly there came a sound from heaven. as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. I'm telling you, that was a supernatural breath of God that flowed down into that upper room. Cloven tongues like as a fire. I know I said it last night. I know you had a good start last night. But cloven tongues like as a fire rested upon them. Supernatural manifestations of the glory of God. Why? Because that was the church that was being presented to the world in all the glory and the power of God. It was not a ritual. It was not a system. It was a picture of supernatural power getting a hold of men until they began to pray in a language that they had never learned before. And before too long, that sound that came from that upper room had gone out into the streets and around through Jerusalem. And men and women began to gather themselves and they began to do this. How in the world are we hearing people who have never learned our languages speak in languages? I'll tell you how. It was supernatural. God never intended us. Oh, God help us here. God never intended us to win the world with bicycles. He never intended us to reach the lost. Amen. And I'm not against whatever program you have, but you'll never win them unless you present something that is glorious, something that is unmistakably God, something that they cannot deny was the power of Almighty God. And so those people look around and they are amazed. And you know what they're saying? They're not saying, please don't misunderstand me. I've run around the church. Nothing wrong with it. I've danced. Nothing wrong with it. I've done everything you can do. I've rolled. I'm about as Pentecostal as you'll ever find. Amen. But those people, they weren't impressed by what those people were doing. They weren't impressed by all the loud noise. What they were saying was, we are hearing them speak the wonderful works of Almighty God. We're hearing something that is flowing from another world. We are hearing reports of things that are so beyond what we expected to hear. I'm telling you, there is a supernatural outpouring of the Holy Ghost. Come on here now. I don't care if you run. I don't care if you shout. I don't care what you do. Amen. But when you get to the bottom of it, you better find something that says that was unmistakably God. That was God. That was the Holy Ghost. That was God. That was supernatural. And I'm going to tell you what, the Holy Ghost, though I'm preaching about what he does not preach about himself. He will bring Christ into the middle of this room. He will put Christ at this altar. He will lift Christ up higher than everything else. I read it again tonight as service went on in Mark 16. It goes on and says, these signs shall follow them that believe. And you go through that. And then in the next to the last verse, it makes it very clear. He ascends into heaven. But in that last verse, in the book of Mark, it says this. They went everywhere. Somebody get that and read it for me, please. The last verse of the book of Mark, it tells something. And you look at it in your Bible. They were given that great commission. And then you'll read about the ascension of Christ. But then when you come to that last verse, somebody read it. It's got a good, strong voice. And they went forth. Hey, they went forth. And they preached everywhere. They didn't preach their poems. They didn't preach, amen, sermons they got off the internet. They didn't preach sermons they got out of books. Everywhere they went, they began to preach. And I want you to know, as they preached, what happened? Oh, the Lord, the one that had ascended to glory and took his throne, seated at the right hand of the Father, says, I'm not letting them preach by themselves. I'm going to go down there. In fact, in John 14, when Christ talks about the Holy Ghost coming, he said, I will come to you. I will manifest myself to you. What we need is again the understanding that the Holy Ghost will put Christ right in the forefront of this altar. Keep on reading. The Lord what? Confirming what? Amen. Remember I told you that the Word was supernatural? Come on now. I don't worship a book. But I do know this, that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed. And if it's written on the pages of any one of those chapters, it has the life of God in it. And we can see something happen tonight because everything in that book is alive.
Anybody want to see something supernatural? I'm not talking about show us a miracle. I'm not talking about, I'm just telling you, and I want you to understand what I'm saying. If you really want to get somewhere with God, get in this altar and tell him, God, I want to see the supernatural power. I want to see it. I want to experience it. I want to feel it. I want you to pour into this room the very presence of Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Tonight's been a battle. I know it has. But I'll tell you why it's been a battle. Because if there's anything the devil does not want, it's somebody to find the supernatural power of God. They're coming to sing. I wish I could have preached better. I'm just feeling tonight that we're in the midst of a crossroad. Either we're going to press in and say, God, do something supernatural tonight. Visit me in a great way. Visit me. I want the presence of Almighty God to come down. Or we're going to say, well, it was good. But there's something, no. I want you to gather around the front with me. Stand up here. Don't kneel down. Don't go somewhere else. I hate it that I have to invite you, but I wish you to come like you did last night. I'm not blaming anybody. I'm just telling you, we're in something right now. I want you to stand around this altar, and I want you to tell the Lord tonight, I want a supernatural touch of God. I want a supernatural touch of God. I want a supernatural visitation of Almighty God. Would you tell him that? You can sing what you want, whenever you want. But those around this altar, would you lift your hands to heaven tonight? God, I need the Holy Ghost to come by. I need something great, Lord. I want the Holy Ghost to flow down. I want you to pour it out in this place. I want you to pour it out tonight, God. Oh, I want to see the supernatural power of God flow down from heaven into this sanctuary. Would you tell him tonight, I need something supernatural, God. I need a supernatural visitation. I need you, Lord. I want the visitation of God. I want you to visit me at this altar. Come on, church. There's more to this than what we're experiencing. There's more to it than what we're getting. God, help us tonight. Help us, Holy Ghost, come down. Jesus, fill this house. Jesus, fill this house.
Visit us like we've never felt before, Lord. Come down tonight in a great way. Come by here, Lord. Come on, invite him. Tell him I want something supernatural tonight. I want you to visit me in this sanctuary.
Send the fire. Send the wind.
Help us tonight.
Send your Holy Ghost.
God, help
send
us tonight.
Power.
We need
send the rain.
We need supernatural,
send
God.
Send the fire.
We need the Holy Ghost to make this
send
more real.
The wind.
We need Jesus in this
send
room.
Your Holy Ghost.
We need Jesus
power.
In this
send
house.
The rain.
We want you to come by
send
here.
The fire.
Invite him.
Send
tell him I want to experience something greater than
send
I've ever known. I want to go where I've never been
the
in the presence of God. I need
send
you tonight, Lord.
Fire.
I want
send
you to help me.
Wind.
God, visit us.
Send the Holy Ghost.
God, visit
fire.
Us.
Send the rain.
God, come by here. Tell him.
Send the
I want a supernatural visitation.
Send the wind.
I want a supernatural touch of God.
Send your Holy Ghost.
I want the touch
fire.
Of the Almighty.
Send the rain.
I want God to visit me.
Send the fire.
I want God to come down in this place.
Send the wind. Send the Holy Ghost. Send fire.
Send it,
the
Lord.
Rain.
Would you make that your
send
prayer?
Your fire.
God, send it
send
down tonight.
Rain.
Visit us.
Send your Holy
we need a supernatural
send
move of God.
Your rain.
We need a visitation.
Send your fire.
God, we need more
send
than we've ever
rain.
Had.
Send your Holy Ghost and power. Send your rain.
God, help us.
Oh, send your fire.
God, visit.
Send your wind. Send your Holy Ghost and
oh,
fire.
Us
send your rain.
Almighty God, would you visit
send
me?
Your
send your God,
wind.
God, would you visit?
Ghost and power.
Send God,
your rain.
Would you visit?
Send your fire.
Oh, Holy Ghost, would you make Jesus real?
Wind.
Would you make
send
the Lord
your Holy
walk
Ghost
us?
And power.
Would you walk
send
among us tonight, Lord?
Send your fire.
God, help us.
Send your wind.
God, visit us.
Send your Holy Ghost.
God, visit us tonight,
send
Lord.
Your rain.
God, visit us.
Hallelujah.
Show yourself in our midst, Lord. Reveal your glory to somebody tonight, Lord. Reveal the power and the might of God in our sanctuary. God, help us in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, help us tonight, Lord. God, help us. God, help us.